Good afternoon, everyone. How lovely to see everyone. Different colors. Please stand with us. We'll start with a song. But before we start, just look around you, meet someone you haven't met before. We're here together. We're a family. Even if you know someone, just give them a high five. Or awesome. We will start with a song of praise. Please sing with us. The words will be up there. Sing as loud as you want. Clap your hands, dance, whatever you like. Whatever you read in the Bible, you're welcome. Father, we thank you for this beautiful time. We thank you that you have called us together today and that we can gather in your name and we can sing your praise today, Father. And Father, give us breath, even more breath to sing your praise today, Father. May we sing from our hearts today, Father. And we want to be for you. And bind us together in your name, in your blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. I will humbly stop and just say, okay, thank you. Awesome. 1, 2, 3.
Joy and
We'll continue in just a moment. There'll be some announcements, and then we'll continue. You may have your seats just for a moment. Amen.
Keep thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Oh, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. To the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Oh, sing praise,
sing praise.
Light, oh, the cross, the pages of time. will made every living thing beholden. He will heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake us a child. He became like the least of us. Behold, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He will dine with sinners and saints, heal the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose the criminals and paid with blood to settle our debt. Buried dead as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Oh, be still and behold him. Oh, 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 glorify you, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Oh, be still and behold him, and behold him, and behold him.
Jesus, the Son of Man, laid down his majesty and bore the fullness of our shame. And in the cross of Christ, he paid our debt, he bought our freedom. In the cross of Christ, we count all as lost. Our joy is to know him. We will not boast, we will not glory, saved in the cross of Christ. Before the world, before the while we were still dead in our sin, Jesus, the Son of Man, laid down his majesty and bore the fullness of our shame. And in the cross of Christ, cross of Christ,
is to know him. We will not boast, we will not glory, save in the cross of Christ.
Before the kids are leaving, I'm going to ask them to come to the front, and Renee as well. Marco has been, you can take a seat now. Marco has been mentioning it, that during worship, we want to be open and hear what God is sharing with us. And I'm going to be asking, is there anyone who got a picture, who got a word during worship? But God was speaking to us. Because God is speaking to us, and I want you as children that you can hear it as well. But as we'll be worshiping over here, God wants to speak to us, but we've got to listen to him. Is there anyone who got a word? Is there anyone who got a picture? What he would like to share for the congregation? What I got, then you can still think about it. What I got is that God wants to be a father. And he has got his table set up for us. And he wants to give us spiritual food this afternoon. And we know, and you most probably know as well, the food on the table is not always the same. One day it's rice, the other way it's chicken, the other day it's maybe potato, the other way it's maybe a stamppot, or maybe something else. And you're not always liking it, and you don't think, oh, no, it's not really for me. But we've got to eat it because it's giving us strength. And this is what God wants to do with us today as well. He wants to speak. And maybe you say this message, you know what, it's not for me. But sorry, we're closing the door. You still have got to eat it because it's going to give you a spiritual strength and you need it. And God has got an appointment with people. That's always what we trust. I'm repeating again. Is there anyone who's got a word, a picture during worship? What you would like to share with the congregation?
I hope someone will add, because I don't know what to do with it. So I know there's someone who has the add-on for this. I just saw angels pouring out oil on people, like bits by bits on our heads. So hopefully there's someone that will reveal to us more.
Okay, at the end of the sermon, we'll come to the oily part because I took oil along. Yes, you're correct. Thank you. Let's pray for the kids. Father, as what you're going to speak to us, I pray that you're going to speak to these children as well, Father. And that their ears, their spiritual ears, are always going to be open to hear the message from you. Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word, what the Lord has given to me when I've got to preach about this afternoon, is stubbornness. The way it's written over there is correct. I typed it in a few times, and each and every time it comes back again, it must be a double B, and it must be a double N, and it must be a double S. Very disturbing. But anyway, that's the right word, stubbornness. And I've got to preach about it. And I'm going to start, which is a little bit different maybe, but I'm going to start by reading a law, which we can find in Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. It's about the rebellious son. If a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who will not obey to the voice of the father or the voice of his mother, and who, when he has chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn, he is rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton. And he's a drunkard." And then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear, and they shall fear. I've never heard a sermon about this, but I've got to give you a sermon today about this stubbornness, about this stubborn son and this rebellious son, and how they have got to treat it. But I'm going to tell you beforehand, I couldn't find anywhere in the Old or in the New Testament that it ever has been put into practice. So if you've got a legal background and you say, but this is unhuman what they're doing over here and you can't do it and things like that, please be seated. Do not get excited. Don't get a high blood pressure. It's never happened what I could find in the Bible. But there is something in it. What God wants to share with us this afternoon, which is important and which we cannot just simply ignore. This law we also find between other laws. The one law is where you've got to, how you've got to treat a captive. If you as a king have been conquering another country and you captive then of the ladies over there and you want to marry them, what process you've got to follow. It's also about the inheritance of the firstborn, that the firstborn is getting a double blessing. And it's just before that a man is hanged. A man who's hanged is cursed by God. But this one is then about the rebellious son. And I'm just going to do the one verse by the other. If a man has got a stubborn and a rebellious son, now stubborn means it's somebody who's backslidden, somebody who is not following God anymore, then he is stubborn. And he is rebellious, and he is withdrawing himself from his relationship with God. If a man is then stubborn and rebellious, and if he's rebellious, it's bitter. A rebellious person is a bitter person, is an unpleasant person to have around. And he's resisting and he's disobedient. Who will not obey the voice of his father or his mother, or the voice of his mother. And who, when they have chastened him, so when they've really spoken to him, they try to teach him, they try to tell him what he has got to do. And he's not listening to them. He's not heed to them. He's not following what they are saying to him. And this is something which is very difficult for the people at that time, because family structure was very important. Because the family structure was the base for society. And if the family structure is not correct, then society is battling. And if there's one thing what we can see with God as well right through, is that family, he wants to be our father. When we've got a father, immediately we've got a family. We've got children, we've got a father, immediately we've got that type of setup. This is God's idea. And we see that family thing right through the whole Bible. But over here, God is talking about a rebellious son, which is putting that family closeness, to put it into jeopardy. And then also, if a man is choosing then to not follow God anymore, not follow his mom and his dad, he's not only putting, I should say, difficult times for himself, but he's also going to destroy his family, where he is busy at the moment, or the family to come. He's going to destroy them as well. And we also see that it is repeating itself. It's not that the mom maybe said, okay, you've got to clean the dishes, and he is disobedient, and now they take him, and now they're going to stone him. No. This is something he must have been doing continuously. And for us in the modern Western world, we say, yeah, we actually cannot understand it. But in the ancient Israel, it was very important that the children should be guided by their parents, because the parents were giving them moral values and the parents were also giving them direction of where they had to go to. Because again, if the family was falling apart, society was falling apart. Then his father and his mother, it's verse 19, shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. So it means there's a process. It's not a matter of that day immediately that they can say, okay, our child is not listening to him, we can stone him. No. There's a process what they've got to go to. They've got to take him to the elders of the city. First of all, mom and dad have got to agree that this son of ours is giving us too much of a headache. He's giving us too much of a problem. We cannot handle it anymore. We've got to bring him to the gates where the elders were sitting. The parents have tried everything, what they would like to and what they wanted to do, but they couldn't succeed. The mother is also involved. And if there's one who will try again and try again and try again, then it is the mother. She will always again try. But again, over here it says, both father and mother. And then they can bring him then to the elders, to the gate. Verse 20, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and he's rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. If you say that a person is a glutton and a drunkard, then it's in the Hebrew terms, it's seen that he's really criminal. There's not much good in that person. So if you say that to the people sitting at the gate, that this is my son, he's a glutton and a drunkard, then you must have had some experience with him, that you're saying that to the people at the gate. Because the glutton is one who's got very loose moral, the prodigal son. We also have got an example of that. He also had low moral values when he left his dad. And then it's also, a glutton is somebody who's greedily eating, but not only eating, but also other things. It's always double and double, always more. The drunkard, of course, the liquor is more important than anything else. And it's just a spiral which is going down. Verse 21, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. All of the men. All of them are going to be part of it. It's going to be the whole society who is going to take that decision. We're going to stone him. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and shall fear. The stoning was actually only used for if you were blaspheming or if you were an idolater. Then they would stone you. But to see over here that the son is going to be stoned as well for what he has done wrong, it was a severe sin what the person has been doing over there. The parents had the authority over the children, but they also had the responsibility to bring them up in the correct way. And then the power of killing the son wasn't with the fathers, but it was with the society. In some other ancient Greek and Roman times, the son of the father had that authority as well, that he could punish, that he could kill the son if the son really was giving a lot of problems. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. When they spoke to the son had two options. He could repent and he could have seen, wait a moment, this is going to be my last day. I better repent now. And he could say, sorry, I've done wrong. I repent of it. And if the parents say, it's fine, you can come back again, then the whole thing was over. But it could also be that the son says, no, I am going to remain stubborn. I'm going to remain rebellious. And then he would have been killed. It would have been his final day. But like I've said before, there's nothing in scripture where I could find that it ever has been put into practice. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Because what are they doing with this action? They're removing the evil. That the evil is not destroying the current society and is not destroying the future society. They're taking that evil away. And Israel shall hear and fear. Because if this is happening, if a person is going to be stoned, the WhatsApps and the YouTubes are going all over the world. Each and everyone will know. Person has been stoned because he didn't listen to his mom and dad. Can you imagine? That one will go everywhere and each and everyone will hear it. But it's a law which is written in the Bible, which is a law which God has given us. But it's not really about the law. It's not that God wants to kill the son. He just wants to teach them something. That if you've got something in your community which is destroying your community, get rid of it. Get it out. Don't allow it in your community. Get it out. Israel was also seen as a son. God is saying it when he spoke to Abraham. Then you shall say to the Pharaoh, this is now in Exodus 4:22, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So this law, which is applicable for the normal sons, is also applicable for Israel. That they've got to listen to what God is saying to them. That they've got to be obedient to the voice of the father. They've got to be obedient to the voice of the parent. Israel is my son. Hosea, at the later stage, is repeating it again. Listen what he says over there in Hosea 1 and 2 and in verse 7. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. And they called him. So they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals. They burnt incense to the carved images. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. He's mentioning it over there. That the son, the Israel people, have got a problem. They're sinning towards God. They're not listening to the parents. They are acting as what they are, a drunkard and a glutton. They are idolatrous. They are bowing before Baal. And if we read 7 again, though they call to the Most High, the prophets went over there. The prophets mentioned it to them. What you're doing is not correct. They warned them. None at all exalt them. But they didn't exalt God. They didn't glorify God. They were not busy with that. They were busy with the Baals. And they had to stop that stubbornness and that rebellion. Because otherwise, it would have been a spiritual death for them. Samuel is also speaking to Saul. He's also talking about the stubbornness. God instructed to Saul. And he said, you can go to Amalek and you must take Amalek, but you must kill all the people and all the animals over there. You must kill all of them. But Saul, I don't think he had any problems with his hearing, but he didn't do what God told him to do. He was very selective. He was disobedient to God. And if there's one thing what's really a sin, then it's to be disobedient to if God is speaking to you and giving you an instruction. That's why when Samuel was speaking to him, in 1 Samuel 15, we can hear, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. He was stubborn. He was following idolatry. And if we take a look at the word idolatry, in the Hebrew word for it is a teraphim. And a teraphim means family gods. Because they had their own gods in their houses. Each and every type of family had their own type of gods. And that in their houses they had their idols where they were bowing for instead of bowing before God. Jesus is also mentioned to be a glutton and a drunkard. The Jewish people accused him of that. And maybe in the back of their head they thought about it, about this law. But they said, Jesus is a glutton and is a drunkard. We've got to get rid of him out of our society because he is destroying our society now and he is going to destroy our society in the future. So the Jewish people wanted to get Jesus out of their system. They wanted to get them out. So what they do, they accuse him of being a drunkard and being a glutton. And Jesus is saying that. He's mentioning it that. He is speaking to the people around him where he's talking about John the Baptist in Matthew 11. And then he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he's got a demon. So this is how the Jewish people were accusing them. The Jewish people of that time, how they were accusing then John the Baptist. And the Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of the tax collectors and the sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. They accused Jesus over there. They wanted to get Jesus out of the society. They wanted to get Jesus out of it because it didn't fit in what they thought Jesus had to be. They thought Jesus was going to be a person who was going to come and who was going to take all the Romans away, and that they wouldn't have the Romans on top of them anymore and with all the taxes. But Jesus came with the message of eternal life. This is what Jesus brought. Jesus didn't bring a short-term solution, but Jesus brought eternal life. And Jesus didn't fit in with the plans of the Jews, and that's why the Jews called him glutton and a drunkard. They wanted to get him out of the society. We've heard about a stubborn son. We've heard about a stubborn Israel. We've heard about a stubborn Saul. And now the circle is coming a little bit closer to each other. How stubborn are we? How stubborn are we? How stubborn are we towards God, our Heavenly Father, that we are not listening to Him? We take a look at the first commandment, what God is giving, that we should put Him first and that He should be our only God. And all of us, including me, have got to say, yes, at certain times, God is not really number one in my priority list. I've got something else which is at that time a little bit more important. We've had it all. That you've got an appointment with God and then you wake up late. Then you've got to choose. You've got to sit and you've got to read Bible and pray and speak to God, or you've got to be on time at work or at the university. And then you decide the last one. And God is not the priority anymore. University or your work is then at that moment the priority, which I can understand, which is happening. But then the fifth commandment is also saying, obey your father and mother. We've got to obey God's voice. We've got to obey what He's listening to us, what He's speaking to us. It was, I've got to think now, who was Banish. He was praying, preaching last week. He was talking about quiet time. We need quiet time, that we can listen what God is sharing with us. The week before that, I preached about hearing the voice of God. What is so critical, that we should hear what God is sharing with us, that we can hear and that we can do what He wants us to do. The week before that, Geoffrey was talking about the mission of God, and he was referring to the mission what we've got as Shofar, that we want to reach nations and generations, that we want to plant churches, that we want to make disciples, that we want to train leaders. It seems to me God has got a message for us, what Shofar is concerned. And yes, you may be a visitor this year, this afternoon, you say, oh, this is a little bit above my head, and this is the first time. But this is a message and an instruction what God is giving to each and every one of us. We've got to tell other people what has been told to us. You're here because you know about God, and we've got to tell other people about it as well. Now I've got to come with my testimony. It's something like a week, maybe 10 days ago. It wasn't that I was in a good, let's say, mood, if I can put it that way, softly, that I was not in a good communication with Renee either. She's there at the moment. You can speak to her afterwards if you want to, and if you want to find out if it is correct what I'm saying or not. But we were not really on the same wavelength, and we were talking to each other, but there was a little bit of friction, and I couldn't really find out what was going on. And I maybe have got to plead guilty as well, that I didn't want to spend too much time on it as well, because I know if there's something of a friction or if there's something of a problem, and those who are married know about it, you first go to yourself. You don't accuse the other one. You first go to yourself and you say, okay, but what's wrong with me? What must I do? I didn't spend much time on it. But then Renee came to me and said, what's wrong with you? And before I knew, I mentioned the word stubborn. I'm stubborn. I thought, where's that word coming from? Because it's not really in my vocabulary. And stubbornness is also a very difficult word to write. So I didn't know where I got that word, but I said to her, I'm stubborn. And I thought, what did I actually say? Let me think a little bit about it and let me pray about it. And then I realized that what was happening is I wasn't putting God's things first at that specific moment. I was busy with other things. Yes, it could be things for the church or whatever. You can say it is still for God's kingdom, but it was not for the relationship between me and God. Something wasn't correct over there. I repented of it, and I said to Renee as well, sorry that I behaved like that, and the thing was sorted out. And when I prepared for the sermon, and God gave me the word, stubbornness, I thought, okay, now I understand it. I first had to experience it before I can preach about it. Now, I hope of the other sins which are in the Bible that I'm not going to get the same problem, because I don't want to drink and I don't want to take another wife or anything like that. I'm not interested in that. But what the stubbornness is concerned, then I realized how easy it is that we are stubborn. That it is about the I, the me, and the myself. And not God first in my life. But the things which are important for me, I'm putting that first and I'm putting God second. And it's happening in each and every person's life. Now you can say, oh, now you're there to condemn me. No, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just explaining what is happening with a stubborn son. They take him out of society because there's no future with something like that. And it's the same in our relationship with God. If we are going to be stubborn, if we don't put God first, then our relationship with God is going to end. It's going to be dead. As what the son is going to be stoned as well. But there's more. There's more than just saying now, all right, this is the message and you go home. There's more. Because God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. And he wants to send us this afternoon with a blessing. I've been experiencing a lot of blessings lately. We had the Arise roughly a month ago. Am I correct, Derek? It was awesome what we had over here. People from different churches coming over here. All the chairs were gone. And we could worship God. We could praise his name. We could glorify his name. I think you were over here as well. You also enjoyed it. It was awesome that we could bring glory to God from different churches. It's not about language. It's not about from which church or you, or you're raising your hand or you're taking a flag or anything like that. It's just about God. It was awesome. But there's more. This week, Tuesday, I was invited to, this week, Wednesday, I could meet a few leaders from a few churches in Utrecht. There was one guy who called me and said, do you want to be part of it? Because you're also evangelizing on a Thursday evening. And I said, yes, I'd like to be part of it. And then we came together. We were six, I think it was, from different churches. And it was on all of our hearts, it was, we've got to bring the gospel to the lost in Utrecht. We didn't have anything else on the agenda. It was just about the gospel has got to be brought to the lost in Utrecht. On Thursday evening, was praise and worship at the Jaarbeursplein. On very short notice, there was a team presence, I think it is. Again, different churches all over Utrecht came together, praised his name, worshipped his name over there. It was awesome what happened. This coming Tuesday, I've got a meeting with a few church leaders who want to come together and who want to pray and hear God's voice about evangelizing in Utrecht. And then on the 11th and the 14th of November, there's going to be a truck. I'm not quite sure what it is and where it is exactly, but it's a truck which is going from place to place in the Netherlands. They're going to be on a Thursday at the Vredenburgplein, and on a Saturday they're going to be at the Jaarbeursplein. Again, worshiping God and praising his name. If we take a look at those things, those blessing things which are happening over here, then we can only say, but God is at the moment busy in Utrecht. And we as Shofar don't want to miss it. We don't want to let that slip through our fingers. We want to be part of it. And we've got to be part of it in our lives as well. Because God wants us that we should be bringing the gospel to the people. I'm going to finish off with two questions. The first question is, can you associate with being the stubborn one? Stubborn son or the stubborn daughter? And maybe you say this afternoon, no, it's not for me. I'm not thinking that far past that question. I don't think I'm too stubborn at the moment. I'm listening to what God is saying. I'm doing what He's telling me to do. I'm not like that rebellious and stubborn son. I'm behaving well. Then I'm asking you the second question. Are you excited about God's plan? God's plan for Utrecht or whatever place you're staying. If you're staying in Tilburg or Eindhoven or you're staying in Amsterdam. God has got a plan for each and every place, but He wants to use us that a message can be brought to those different places. So I'm leaving those two questions with you. Can you associate with being a stubborn son? And if it's, we're going to address it in prayer just now. And are you excited about God's plan? Then we're going to address it now as well. Because I'm going to ask a few people to help me with that. That we're just going to anoint you. And that's where the oil is coming in. That we're going to anoint you. And we know that you, if you're being anointed, then God is going to equip you. But God must speak in your heart. The Holy Spirit must speak in your heart that you can come. And that you can say, I want to be anointed. Whatever God puts on your heart, if it is that you say, but I want to the gift of healing to flow through me, that I can pray for healing for other people, then you ask that to be anointed for. If you say that you want to be an evangelist, that you can bring the gospel to each and every one, with pleasure, Urbanus will anoint you for that. Doesn't matter. But that we can go out, not being filled condemned, but that we are going to be out by being blessed, and that we can go into the world what God wants us to be, that we can be a blessing for other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and for your love. We thank you that you love your creation. You love your creation so much that you've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us at the cross. And we thank you that we know you as creator of heaven and earth. We thank you that we also know that you have sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to communicate with us. And Father, as all eyes are closed at the moment, if you're here this afternoon and you say, but I've never ever in my life made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. God is the creator of heaven and earth, and the Holy Spirit is my helper. But I can feel now that the Holy Spirit is putting it on my heart that this afternoon I've got to make that decision. If this is for you, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. If you've never made that decision in your life, and you feel that you've got to make that decision, I'm asking you now to raise your hand. Thank you, Father, that we'll be heard this afternoon as well. That the Son could repent, that we also can repent, that we can come to you and that we can say, Father, what we're doing is not correct. Being stubborn and being rebellious is not correct. And if this has been speaking to you and that question came up, can you associate with being the stubborn one? If that's speaking to you and you feel, yes, that's me. And as all eyes are closed, I'm asking you just to raise your hands. That you say, yes, that's me. I'm a stubborn one. I'm a rebellious one. I'm not listening to the Father. And Father, as what you see, those hands which have been raised, and even those hands which have not been raised, but in their heart that they know that they are rebellious and that they are stubborn, that they're not following your word. Father, I come on behalf of all of them, that together that we can say, Father, we repent. We repent of not listening to your voice. We repent of being stubborn. We repent of being rebellious. Going our own way and not listening to you, the Father. and doing it our own way. And we thank you, Father, that we know that if we come to you and if we repent, you forgive our sins. I thank you for forgiveness, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for that you've sent your Son, and that this afternoon with the communion that we can be reminded of that again, that your Son died for us at the cross. He died so that we can have eternal life. He gave his life so that we can have eternity with you. It was his blood which washed our sins away. Sometimes it sounds a little bit strange, but Father, his blood washed us clean, that we can come into your throne room, Father, through Jesus Christ who died for us. And we thank you that we can be reminded of that again, that we can celebrate it, that we can have that meal together and be reminded of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see beauty that made this heart.
See you. Shining.